Good mo afi, meaning good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on where you are and what part of the day it is for you. Here, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's again a pleasurable sunny day, chilly in the evening and morning. So as usual, when Sayado Uindaka is not here, we have about 10 minutes for sharing. Anybody who feels inclined to share a small, a big experience or insight, please feel free to unmute yourself or to raise your digital hand. Who will break the ice and start with sharing? Yes, Jane.
Thank you. Just to mention, the person who is my neutral person, that she's actually in a bakery near where I live, and she was the person I started to share last night as my neutral person. Anyway, when I went into the bakery today, there was this beautiful warmth, just a lovely natural quite deeper than normal exchange. So just want to credit Metta as part of the opportunity of sharing that with her. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing this, Jane. Yes, please, Rodney or Marcelo.
Sorry, I'm somewhere with no Wi-Fi, and then I tried my phone, then I tried Rodney's phone, so I show up as Rodney. I haven't figured out how to change it. Thanks for noticing. So just wanted to say that I'm very thankful for the support, because it does feel a bit lonely during the day sometimes, because it is long hours of practicing on our own, and lots of opportunities to make mistakes and to actually go into the opposite, like anger and ill will. And so the Dhamma talk was really helpful catching that. I was having huge doubts, and so also really glad to see all the faces. Then for me, it's the end of the day, and to see everybody and just kind of have that group support, that's what's been important for me.
Thank you, Marcella, for sharing this. Then Michelle, please.
I will share like that. I had really a trouble with a neutral person, so I was like just staying with my friend, and then I went snowboarding, and a stranger came to help me out when I got stuck and pulled me out and said, good luck, and I was like, oh my God. And then I could really admit at the person that it's a stranger, so I found it really great. And I found it amazing how the universe works. So just wanted to share this beautiful experience and how it helped me to radiate metta to a neutral person that I never could do.
Yes, thank you sharing for this, Michelle. And who else? Well, that's also a sharing our kind faces, maybe sharing a smile here on the screen, just being connected in this way, without words, but really feeling connected. Maybe now somebody feels inclined to share something with words. Yes, Doris, please.
Yes, I went out yesterday afternoon and I didn't, sometimes I lose the meta words and didn't think about it, but astonishing when I realized I felt much better inside for me, and it's a difference from not cultivating metta. I felt a difference because I felt really metta inside.
Thank you, Doris, for the sharing. Yes, Isha, do you want to share?
I do want to share. I feel very connected at the moment without working hard, just by being here. But I'd also like to say over the past month, when I was in hospital, I felt that I was given so much metta by so many people I know. It really brought me to a heartfelt space when I hardly had anything to give. And I feel that that was part of the story of metta too. Most of my friends are meditators, and I certainly was given heaps at that time, as well as now I've been allowed to open my heart again. So once again, I say thank you for this. The metta has just come to me without doing anything. So, yeah. I'm very, very thankful.
Thank you, Isha, for your sharing. Yes. Bridget, yes, please.
Yesterday there were some gardeners cutting the trees in my neighborhood, and I saw them cutting the plum tree, which already had blossoms. So I said, oh, you, it already has blossoms. Why are you cutting it? And he said, just because it's in the way of people walking on the path. And then he just gave me three branches and said, here, you can enjoy the blossoms.
Thank you, Bridget, for this sharing. And we have Trin, please.
When I'm sharing the metta for the Nishin person, I find out it's so difficult to have connect like the other objects, and but when I sometimes I link it with the Eastern nature person with everyone. Because when we would like to share metta for everyone, the nature person is one member of this, so try to connect with eight people. And after that, it's also to feel that maybe if we share merit like that, too many nature person, that I need to love. And next, it's a surprising idea come to me, because I usually do the upekha, the equanimity when I have the compassion or karuna, but with a very difficult people and we could not have. But now I think that I can use upekha. With too many natural people. It is the first time I do like this, and the mic can accept. Many people, but we wish only, maybe there too many people, but we always wish everyone happy. I think this is the new idea come to me when I use upekha with this situation, and after that I think that the upekha can develop in another way.
Thank you, Trin, for your sharing. Claudia, please can you be short as the last with the sharing?
Because when I wake up, I really feel much lighter and joyful to start the day, and whenever I meet a person, there is much more warmth and connection.
Thank you, Claudia, for sharing. And now I will ask Ivy Ragnani for her sharing her reflections and instructions for the practice of metta meditation.
Thank you, Aria, and thank you all for your sharing. So, we've gone through a number of categories now, working with ourselves as a basis, and then the dear friend, or the benefactor, the dear friend, and the neutral person. Today in the practice, we'll move on to what's called in the texts the enemy. I prefer the difficult person. And this change of category is so interesting to me, and I want to share a few reflections about the process of purification that we're engaged in here, and how at first it's not so difficult to go from the benefactor to the dear friend. It's a little more difficult to go from the dear friend to the neutral person, but going from the neutral person to the difficult person, it almost feels like it's a lot harder. Exponentially harder. As if you know, we all know from COVID now about exponential curves. And it feels like that in the practice. And we've all built a lot of momentum by now, having been cultivating metta now for 8 solid days, every moment without ceasing. It may not feel like you have momentum, but you do. And because this transition is so much more challenging to this next category, we need all the momentum we can get. Because a lot comes up. The purification that we're faced with in this category is purification of really difficult mind states and heart states. And so much of the challenge, so much of the bumpiness that's common when we change to this category is because suddenly we've gone from the near enemy, purifying the near enemy, the attachment, and purifying just kind of disconnection, to purifying the polar opposite of metta, which is dosa. So a lot can come up. A lot on this spectrum between mild irritation and rage, some form of anger or annoyance. But also more complicated emotions can arise based on that. Resentment, spite, sheer stubborn desire to keep hating somebody. And we all know the benefits of metta, and as Sayadaw described yesterday, there are many of them. And who doesn't want these benefits? Good night's sleep, peace of mind and heart, protection. And in spite of the fact we know this, sometimes when we're faced with anger, resentment, spite, wanting to hold on to how somebody has harmed us, we don't care about any of that. We just want to hate that person. Or we just want to be angry at that person. Because we're right, we think. It's often very easy to rationalize hanging on to anger when somebody has harmed us. This is the trick of the ego, and it can be very, very alluring to fall into this. And we might actually have a habit of mind too, hanging on to them. Part of the reason that this category is so much more difficult to engage with as the others is because when somebody has harmed us by speech or action, it triggers a really primal response. And all of those things that come up are based in that primal response. So whatever, anger, resentment, stubborn irritation, spite, whatever it is. Biologically, we're hardwired to respond to being attacked. Our species wouldn't have lived through what it's lived through, if that weren't the case. And the first response, you know, it's either fight, flight, or freeze. And so that first response, fighting, is what manifests as all those forms of dosa, striking back, striking out. But flight and freeze can also manifest in this category, and they're a little harder to discern. They're more subtle. Well, maybe not more subtle as experiences, but more subtle as responses to being harmed. So there's sadness or grief, hopelessness, overwhelm. And these are manifestations of freezing. It's like we just can't, just can't deal with it. The psyche freezes and we drown in that overwhelm sometimes. Flight. Flight is also interesting because flight manifests as a number of phenomena, primarily distraction, wanting to be distracted, wanting not to go to this category. So a bit of resistance to the category, which we think is dosa, but really we're running away. We just don't want to touch it. It's too hard. And that continuum can go all the way to dissociation. That's where that comes from. It's like, not going there. So please understand, whatever comes up in relating to people in this category, it's universal. There's nothing you're doing wrong. And it's very hardwired. We're not hyper-rational, emotionless robots. All of this will naturally arise. The thing to remember is Soka Metta. When we're faced with an avalanche of difficulty, it's hard to remember that Metta could also arise as well. So, but that's what the momentum helps us with. That's why we need momentum when we go to this category. Because in spite of that hard wiring, in spite of deep entrenched psychological habits, we're cultivating metta and have been cultivating metta. Not just for these 8 days, but for most of you for a long time. And that gives us space to pause and reincline. So in the face of all that can arise in this category, and as we've said many times in different ways, now what? What do we want to feed? What habits do we want to feed? What habits do we want to encourage or strengthen? It helps to ask yourself this. Because when the mind's having a 2-year-old child tantrum, as it does sometimes, we need some space to remember. It's like, oh, wait a minute, I don't really want to feed this. So it really, really is very helpful at this point to touch back in to your deep intention for being here and doing this practice. Just remember why you're here. What brings you to this practice? What brought you to this retreat? Deeply remembering that and touching into the depth of that aspiration. So that when those ego-driven old habits of fight, flight, freeze, whatever manifests, play out, remembering your aspiration gives you space to pause and feed something else. The challenge of making this transition to the difficult person is also because some of these states, these difficult states, are perversely pleasant. They're not really pleasant in the long run. But to the small ego, they feel quite satisfying. And certainly they're more familiar than metta. And we can rationalize them also, saying, oh, I need my anger so that I can act decisively. No, we don't, actually. That's another story. So there are all sorts of ego-driven reflexes that will be pulling us towards fight, flight, freeze, some form of dosa, moha, loba, greed, aversion, delusion. Remembering why we're here gives us a powerful tool to pause in that moment and go, oh, what do I really want to feel here? And you may need to remember that again and again and again. That's okay. That's just like the practice. It's the same process. So what is helpful here is first, of course, remembering our aspiration, and also please remember all conditioned phenomena arise and pass away, including that powerful aversion, resentment, hatred, anger, ill will, grief, hopelessness, whatever it is. This is the second thing that's very helpful to remember when we're dealing with the challenges of this particular category. These states are sticky. They have a kind of a gravitational pull that's quite strong. And they come from that stream of deep habit that I was talking about. So they're deeply rooted. They tend to return again and again and again. When we're stuck in that sticky web of habit, of unwholesome habit, it's very hard to remember that all conditioned phenomena arise and pass away. It's very hard to remember that this grief, this anger, this hopelessness will arise and pass away. And it's very hard to remember our capacity to extricate ourselves from them. So please don't forget, not a single one of us knows what's going to happen in the next moment? What's going to arise in the next moment? If we assume it's just going to be worse, or these states are going to stick around forever, that's just a thought, that's just assumption that keeps us caught in those states. Each moment is new, each moment is unique, each moment comes as a surprise if we are willing to allow that. So please remember, nothing, no single mind state, and certainly not the unwholesome ones, remains moment to moment to moment. It's so easy to forget how transient these states are when we're stuck in, but they are. So remembering that is very, very helpful. So remembering our aspiration, remembering impermanence, And remembering your own capacity to practice, trusting the practice. This is also difficult to do, strangely enough. This is why it's very, very helpful when wholesome states arise to really notice them and acknowledge, oh, yes, this practice can open to wholesome state. This practice can open to boundless metta. This practice has the capacity in this mind and body right here to be open-hearted, loving, kind, generous, peaceful, concentrated. You've all experienced that. So trusting in that experience, that simple experience you've all had in these days and in your practice in general, if you've accessed the purity of metta, you have the capacity to access it again. So trust that. And trust the momentum that you have created in these days and in the weeks, months, years of your practice to cope with the bumps that will inevitably arise. And build on them. You will find new ground in this retreat. Everybody does. That's what retreats are for. So build on the momentum you have. Build on the practice you have. Remember how impermanent all phenomena and all mind states are. And remembering your aspiration, all of this gives some space when the bumps arise, when difficulty arises. And trust that moment to moment to moment. Build on that moment to moment. My preceptor and teacher, Upandita, used to say, the road to Nibbana is paved with patience. And certainly working with this category, definitely, that statement definitely applies. The road to metta for the difficult person is paved with patience. And Ariya will talk this evening, or her recorded talk, about compassion, about forgiveness. It's something really to pay attention to. This also helps. Compassion particularly, because we've all made mistakes, we've all done stupid things that we regret. Sometimes there's a British expression, bloody-mindedness. Sometimes just with sheer bloody-mindedness. We don't care, we're just gonna do it anyway. And then later we regret that. We've all done. So we're all enemies for somebody. Most of us, not everybody, but I think it's fairly universal that, you know, a lot of people love us, but some people, maybe we rub the wrong way. So compassion, universal compassion, is very helpful. Compassion for yourself, compassion for all of us stuck here in this samsaric realm, making mistakes and doing the best we can. So I invite you to sit back, relax. In choosing somebody to begin to work with today in the practice, I say this every time, we say this every time, and every time, I swear, somebody says, I know, I heard you, but Please don't be that person that says fun. Don't choose somebody really difficult. Don't choose the hardest person. Don't choose the person you really want to work with in this category. Begin where it's easy. We beg you. There is a continuum of difficulty in this category, as I've already spoken of a little bit. So begin on the end of the spectrum where somebody just annoys you a little bit. It's a little harder in an online retreat, but in a residential retreat, it's that person who breathes a little loudly, or you don't like their socks, or they walk too heavily, or they open a window when you want it closed, or they close a window when you want it open. Now, somebody who does something mildly annoying that just makes you go, huh. Don't choose a person that fulfills the characteristics of the name that the Visuddhimagga gives this category, the enemy. That's too intense at first. You don't want an enemy. You just want an annoying person. And you can move on from this once the metta is developed. One other suggestion of somebody not to choose is a difficult neighbor. Because neighbors are really, really hard. They're harder than you might think. So, somebody who just annoys you. There will be somebody. There is for most of us. You can know this person, you can have a close personal relationship with them or not. They can be a public figure that just mildly annoys you. Not somebody who scares you or some politician who is really malignant. Just annoying. So taking a moment to reflect, and as you did for the other categories, staying with this, the first person that comes to mind, at least through this sitting, and see how it goes. So settle back, and taking care at the beginning. To relax into the body. Feeling with compassion, whatever is predominant in your mind and body right now, feeling with friendly interest. The movement of the breath. Or the sit bones on the cushion or the chair. Or the hands touching. Settling into a kind of presence here and now. And really establishing yourself there. and connecting with the heart center. However you feel it most easily. This general area around the chest. Put your hand there if it's helpful. And beginning to cultivate loving kindness wherever it's easiest for you for a few minutes. Whether it be yourself or any of the categories we have already worked with. Resting in the development of kindness and the ease of that. Now gently closing with this person and bringing to heart and mind this mildly challenging person with either an image or a felt sense. They do not need to be right next to you. They can be across the street on the other side of town. It's okay, but just finding a way to connect with this person. And beginning to radiate loving kindness with your phrase in the same simple, persistent way as you have done. May this annoying person be well, happy, and peaceful. May this difficult person be safe and protected from harm. May this disliked person be at ease with the conditions of their life. Just as I want to be happy, so may this difficult person be happy. then continuing in the silence with this, starting again as many times as you need to, patiently, persistently, moment to moment to moment, inclining towards kindness, inclining towards well-wishing. So thank you for your practice with this category, everybody. And of course, continuing that through the day in both your formal practice and otherwise. So in your formal practice, staying with this difficult person, mildly difficult person, even if they don't seem difficult anymore, that's totally okay. Just keep going in this way. And in general activities, as you have done before, continuing to cultivate the momentum of your practice and the continuity of your practice in all your activities. The world is a challenging place. It's full of angry, hateful people. Not full, but there are a lot of them out there. This practice and what you will be doing in your daily activities is to incline the heart and mind somewhere else in response to that. So not magnifying the hatred that's already in the world, but diffusing it. So no matter what somebody says or does, maybe you read something in the newspaper that causes the mind to go, oh, okay. In that moment of aversion, simply resting, pausing, choosing to incline to well-wishing anyway. So may they be at ease anyway. And using the strength and the continuity of the practice you've already done, that momentum, that flow of metta that's already there to support you in this. And feel free in the general activities or your daily practice to go back to where it's easy. If you feel overwhelmed, that's totally okay. Keeping going as best as you can, moment to moment. Heartfelt thank you, everybody. The world needs this. It's really important. So may you have a lovely day of practice. And I'm going to turn us over to Aria, who will take your questions and guide us in the chanting today.
Thank you, sister. So now the space is open for the questions, and Anna has up her hand. So please.
Thank you. I could use some more explanation about why I shouldn't choose my neighbor. Because I chose my neighbor, and then you said it's not wise to choose your neighbor, so I chose someone else, but I'm curious, why not? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Anna. As Ayavirañani has said, you know, neighbors can be difficult, and because, you know, we live close to them, they are our neighbors, we see them often or every day, and if there is some difficulty between you and that neighbor, so because that's very close, you know, you live next door. And so this closeness and the difficulty that is there can make it a really difficult metta object. However, you know, generally speaking, this is like this. But you have to see in your own case with your neighbor, depending on what is the issue, maybe having taken that neighbor and, you know, the metta kind of going okay or even well, then I would suggest, okay, stay with the neighbor.
Okay, Okay. Will we be doing the difficult person tomorrow as well?
Yes.
Okay, then there's no problem. Thank you.
Good. And please, Martin.
In the depression, sorry, Chitavi Arunani, because I don't understand, continue not to be able to understand all what you say because of the language. But there is a word that you said that it is very important for me, and the word was aspiration. Because I realize that the goal is not to change something. For example, the person I chose every time is my granddaughter, my granddaughter's father, who is more and more violent. But when I practice, I recall the word aspiration. My aspiration is to take care of the seed of loving kindness, to feed the seed of loving kindness, and is not to change anybody. So it has been very important for me, this word, aspiration. So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Martin. As you have explained or said, yes, you understand correctly. It's about the aspiration of nurturing the seed of kindness in you and not to achieve some goal or change another person. Yes. So then, Mats or Magdalena?
I'm having a quite acute lumbago in my back, so I cannot sit up. I can stand up and lie down and walk, but sitting is very difficult. And so I was just lying here like this, and just when we started the meditation, and I had the person in mind, and then I wanted to reach for a pillow, and it was even worse. It got like a total blockage, I don't know. And it was so much pain, and I was lying here, and I didn't know what to do. Because Dosa came against the pain, but then also against the person. It was like a double Dosa. And then I went and I got some ice, and it's lessening now. But I wonder, when you have a lot of pain in the body, should I, because then I started to do for myself, and I let go of the person. What do you suggest? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Magdalena. So, yes, if there is a lot of pain in the body, you know, we said, if possible, you can change posture to, you know, lessen the pain or get rid of it. But in your case, you cannot. So then we have to find another way to deal with it. One is, as you said, yes, metta for yourself, metta for the pain, metta for your dosa against the pain and the person you had chosen. So this would be a way to practice with this. It just eludes my mind what I was going to say. So yes. Oh, now it comes back. Thanks, Buddha. So if metta in, you know, some way is possible, okay, continue. But if the pain is so strong, you know, that the mind just goes to the pain and is kind of absorbed by the pain, then to switch to vipassana would also be an alternative to continue to practice.
Exactly. I was thinking that because it's like, in a way, I'm kind of I kind of tell these phrases, but then the pain is at the same time there, so it's a little bit like denying the pain.
A conflict,
yeah, so I understand, so then I can just be with the pain, observe the pain, and just be relaxed with the pain. I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay. May you be soon be free of this pain. Then we have Sue or Keith.
It's me. My question is probably similar to Martine. I found that I cannot use the meta phrase, may you be happy, healthier, and peaceful, because the person I'm thinking of, it's my aversion to them, not necessarily who they are. So I need to say, may I be kind, may I be understanding, rather than may you be something. Do you understand?
Yes, Sue, I understand what you mean. You know, as we have said several times, the cultivation of metta is the cultivation of this metta quality in ourselves. It's not about sending metta to another person, not sending the happiness to the other person so that he or she becomes happy. And that's also why we have said, do not use the word you in the metta wish. Not may you be well, happy, and peaceful, but may so-and-so, may my neighbor, may the person who hurt me be well, happy, and peaceful. Because formulating the phrase in this way, we stay more inside us. You know, it also could say, I wish that so-and-so be happy and well. That again brings us back, it's my wish, it's my benevolent attitude towards this person. Recognizing that maybe I am adverse to that person for whatever reason. You know, the person is not a bad person, but my relationship to that person is such that there is frustration or anger or I'm upset. So then I wish that this person be happy and well. So it's my wish, it's changing my attitude towards this other person. Or, you know, when you say, may I be kind in my relationship with this other person, again, this means you're staying within yourself.
So then I'm changing my
frame. And that's okay to have a different phrase because, I mean, for many, this is a very different category. The others, the category has been reasonably easy. But for this category, I see that it may not be the other person. It's how I, the people, how I react to those people. So the phrase needs to be a little different.
Yes, it's for you, you know, another phrase, putting it into other words is helpful to highlight this point, then do it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome. So if there is no more question right now, we go to the Metta chants and we will start on page 6 in the middle. The Loka Samastha Sukhino Bhavantu. It's a chant in Sanskrit. It's a short, sweet, calm chant which encapsulates the meaning of metta or the gist of metta. Like, may all beings in all the worlds be happy. Very simple and direct. We will be doing it many times, so you can really get familiar with it if you do not know it yet, and then sink into this melody and the words, the meaning of these words, connecting with the metta. Then we'll begin. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Loka samasta sukhino. As you could notice, this Loka Samastha, it's a soothing, a calming chant, and this may be applied when the mind is restless or very agitated, going all over the place. Just chanting it a number of times, again and again, It might help calm down the mind. Then next we'll do the Metta Sutta, which is on page 4, the Karaniya Metta Sutta in English. We'll begin. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and on us the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud or demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great and the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from sense desire, is not born again into this world. And to end this session, we will do the Burmese chant, which is on page 2. The three aspirations in Burmese, the four aspirations in Burmese, doing it 3 times, and then the sharing of merits, also 3 times. We'll begin. Alam tatawadvi chamma chabasi chanda chabasi kosiya ginchabasi Seisiya ginja basi asasa ayaya asimhi jabasi alang tatavadvi jamma jabasi chanda jabasi Gosiya ginja basi Seisiya ginja basi Asasa ayaya asimhi jabasi Alang tatavadvi jamma jabasi chanda jabasi Gosiya ginja basi Seisiya ginja basi Asasa ayaya asimhi jabasi Ahmiya, ahmiya, ahmiya Yudha mucha bhagavla Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu Ahmiya, ahmiya, ahmiya Yudha mucha bhagavla Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu Ahmiya, ahmiya, ahmiya Yudha mucha bhagavla Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu to all to you for your practice, for your patience, perseverance, effort, dedication. Is that the thunderstorm where you are, Dovira? So, practice continues. And today again, some interview groups. Group A is with Aya Viranyani. And group D is with me. See you again in 15 minutes from now, those in the groups. Bye-bye. Take care.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.